Good evening, good afternoon, or even good morning to those of you who have tuned in at a time that's convenient to your own lifestyle. Welcome to Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast. My name is Damien B. Donnelly. This is episode 14, season 7, and it's our final official episode of this season. And I say official episode because we do have one more episode coming up in a few weeks, our very special episode that arrives in October, and it will be the audio companion to the Storms Journal, issue 3, where contributors will share poetry and prose from the third Storms anthology to be published next month. But for today, we have yet another diverse episode, not only in terms of theme, but also in terms of location. We are heading to North Carolina in the United States, to a cafe in Denmark, to a British-born poet with an Irish mother who lives in Germany, to bookshelves in Reading in the United Kingdom, and to a spoken word showstopper here in Dublin. Whatever your fancy, I think we have it covered. Whether you have decided to join us on Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podbean, Player FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castbox, Podcast Addicts, or even iTunes. Right now, it's time to slice the cake, brew the tea, perhaps pour a little brandy into the coffee, or freshen up that wine glass, because this is episode 14, season 7 of Eat the Storms, the poetry podcast, with your host, Damien B. Donnelly, hoping that you all enjoy the show. Kicking off this final episode of Eat the Storm season 7 with a poet and writer who's joining us from Northern California, although she also lives in Barcelona in Spain. Today she is going to be sharing poems from her poetry collection Remember This Day, which was published this year by Finishing Line Press. With a bachelor's degree in social work from the Hebrew University in Jerusalem and an MBA from the American University in Washington, she writes poetry that draws on a lifetime of experience. She was deafened in her 30s and learned how to navigate social, professional and family relationships while documenting that process in newspaper articles, magazines and now her poetry. With work appearing in places like Prompt for the Press, Bubble Literary Magazine, Bad Dreams, Good Dreams and an upcoming children's book called Who Wants to Be Friends with a Dragon, published by Dorrance Publishing Company, I'm delighted to welcome to Eat the Storms for the first time, Linda Dratel.
Hello, my name is Linda Dratel. The following set of poems is about my family, my husband, our son and daughter, my aging horse who has since passed away, and one of my goats who has also recently passed away. The first poem is for my husband. Whale watching. We rented a tandem kayak, followed our guide's instructions. After a few miscues and mutual what-fors, our paddles skimmed in sync the rippling surface of the ocean. We blessed the sun's embrace and the breeze's brush, searched for whales, waited patiently for telltale signs. A breach, the lob of a tail, a fin slap, a sudden vertical spray. Then, in the distance, we saw them. Warships rising out of nowhere. There my husband hurrahed and thrust his paddle into the water, aimed our kayak toward them, sliced the sea as fast as he could. Wide-eyed, I gripped my own paddle, struck the water with equal vengeance, countered his forward stroke, and attempted to steer us back to shore. I also wrote the following poem for my husband, who happily is still alive, but I am always in fear of losing. When your heart no longer beats. I know one day you will take your last breath. Leave me and grasp the cold hand of death. I want you to touch me as you pass on. Leave your fingers impress after you've gone. Pillows behind you, quilt on your lap. I'll stroke your head gently, pretend it's a nap. Your head will nod slowly as if you agree. I cannot survive this. It should have been me to go first. I should have been first. The following poem is for our son, him. His birth family has found him. They hail from Colombia, all 154 of them. He is my beloved son, raised with love from birth. His birth family has found him. I give him space to embrace his familia, all 154 of them. I treasure him, our family of four. His birth family has found him. They treasure his attention, call him each day, all 154 of them. We are his destiny. They are his birthright. His birth family has found him, all 154 of them. And this poem is for our daughter, her. She is an orchid we have watered, fertilized with nourishment and love. Her stem is slim but strong. She knows only one way to grow, toward open space, grasping reachable air. Her gentle bouquet cascades along the soft curve of her arm, a tender waterfall of blossoms. She faces the sun, commanding the light to find her, feed her. She presses forward single-mindedly away from the soil, as if she's waving a winning lottery ticket. Her petals brush each other and share a laugh. Her lush leaves find the breeze and dance their heart out. The next poem is about my horse, Tempest. Rain slashes parallel to the bespattered sodden field, piercing darts propelled by unruly wind. The ground is spreechy as a spongy, bald expanse where grass once grew but died in the drought, allows a horse's weight to leave watery hoof prints, sufficiently deep for frogs to lay their eggs, if there were any. There aren't any. The rain has come too late, too much at once. The media calls it a bomb cyclone, an atmospheric river event. Over the course of one day, an empty barrel in my backyard collects 6 inches of rainwater. I drive to the farm past fallen tree branches, steer carefully through gale winds, grab my horse's soaked nylon halter from the top rung of the pasture's steel enclosure, run through the downpour to the middle of the field where Vegas stands quietly, and place the halter over his graying face. I lead him, thin, aging shadow of him, to the warmth of the barn and offer him grain in one of the dry stalls. He balks, grunts a vexed snort, thrashes his neck, kicks the side of the barn with his left front hoof, disgusted with limits set by others. He refuses the grain, refuses my touch, rears up at the horse in the stall next to his. He wants nothing to do with the barn, prefers the freedom of the pasture in the maelstrom. He calms down when I lead him back outside into the stinging rain, the wind whipping around us. The next poem is about my goat, who suffered from severe arthritis over the past few years. Nutmeg's Jacket. I feed my goat extra grain in an effort to help him keep on weight, which he loses anyway, like loose chain through a hole in one's pocket. The farm manager is worried about the freezing temperatures that has made him a jacket. This jacket is impressive, thick plaid cloth with leather piping lined for warmth. It covers his shoulders, reaches midway down his sides, stitching shows where to center it along his back. A mozzetta of sorts. The grain is not fattening him. The jacket, secured by Velcro closures, keeps coming undone and constantly falls to the wayside, like so many good intentions. And this last poem I wrote when I was a teenager, intended for all of us dealing with the struggles life throws at us. The torrent and the tree. Why does it struggle so? Its branches tremble and shiver against that which will inevitably overcome it. The biting rain flogs its leaves,
The raw wind mauls its branches. The irate river, pulsing and rupturing the embankment, whips up slumbering silt and loosens the hold of its roots. Lawless rapids sweep around it triumphantly, dragging the tree to a slow, prostrate death. Yet it resists as if sheer will can repel the forces which assault it. A few extra minutes of life, worth the agony. The tree twists and twines with a pluck it did not know it possessed. Its impaled soul refuses the sweet death that beckons it. It seems to know why it is there. Its defiant arms are streaked with rugged lines from splintering cracks. Its trunk scarred with raw nubs, where young branches fanning budding leaves once grasped the sky. As it sinks to the will of the aggressor, the trembling forest bears witness, comprehends it is the tree which has overcome the torrential waters. Its measure, now resting in long overdue quietude, gazes gratefully at heaven, for not even death can erase those precious defiant moments it spent on earth. Thank you.
My second guest today on Ether Storms is another newcomer to the podcast and is going to take us in a completely different direction to Linda. And that's what I love about this podcast, its diversity of not only voice and accent, but of style and theme. We are now coming back here to Dublin in Ireland for a teacher, historian and poet. And most importantly, and especially today, a spoken word artist. He's performed all over Dublin and at festivals around Ireland, including the Other Side Festival. And he is a regular contributor to the Seanach Oíche, with videos of him massing over 500,000 views on social media platforms, which include his piece called Home. With work appearing in anthologies like Drawn to the Light, Peace, Land and Bread and Void magazine, please enjoy the exceptional company and artistry of secondary school teacher and spoken word artist, Mikey Cullen.
This is called As Good As Can Be Expected by Mikey Cullen. It's a spoken word poetry piece about the process of grieving for a loved one and the stages of grief and the feelings and thoughts surrounding grief. And it's also a bit of a tribute to my dad who passed away. So it's called As Good As Can Be Expected. Yeah, we just had to go and grow up, swapping endless time for shirts and ties, put the Cadbury Suns down and pick the pint glass up. We were given our roles and sin stifled cries. Ignorance is bliss, we thought we knew it all. Then the world hit us all, now to prepare to perish if you don't wise up. And I had to put the guys up, I'm drowning in myself, it's dark water, I can't tell which way is down and which way is up. There's no remedy for this shit, nothing works on this sickness, no strain, no frame, or even warm 7-Up. And I've been praying those reverent, unconvincing words I'm sick of saying. Does this work? It's hard to believe, or just bouncing off the ceiling. Because in a God, it's hard to conceive. The one who inflicted me with grief, and the one who leaves me aggrieved. The one implanted in our minds, but so far out of reach. No one promised us tomorrow. Infamy, anonymity, or glory, it all ends in sorrow. I just didn't account for this war and peace, this stillness and the chaos of release. Much ado about nothing until it does cease. I'm tired, listless, give me life, energy, exhilaration. I'm emotionally bankrupt and I need a bailout like 2009 Greece. We struggle through the marathon thinking we won't go on, but we summons up the courage like Spartans, 300 yards stacked against us, but we soldier on. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, time goes on as well. It sits on our back to the finish line and then it goes on for longer. You think about life, time, death, what it's all about. It's what I didn't say, didn't do, didn't express to you that I regret. Now that you've moved on to the stars and the breeze and it's blowing all the lights in my world out and I can't stand it. I'm way more comfortable on my knees to know that you'll have to miss someone forever. To now cling on to memories you didn't count on having to treasure. Memories at the time so innocent, so every day. During the day I repress what comes up. If I sat down, I'd never get back up. I'm paralysed behind tear-filled eyes as R.E.M. come on the shuffle play. Cullen, not Stipes, but I'm losing my religion. Now your spirit's floating in the great beyond and your body's covered in clay. At night in the kitchen, I still get this vision when I'm putting my dishes away of you and Mam sitting there watching generic US cop shows plotted between yous, Bella and Colo, and you're telling me to go away. As you laugh and jokingly call me Simple Jack. One day I thought I was having a heart attack when I realised that you wouldn't be back, that we won't have those times again, the slagging and the crack, and I won't hear stone crunch under motorbike wheel letting me know that you're home. Since that morning that you shut your eyes and ascended, I'm surrounded by people but I feel so alone. I cannot express what I can't understand, I cannot assess what I had not planned. It's numbness interjected with potent rage, it's grief, it's a box, it feels more like a cage. This association is the only hope of making it true, because when I think of you, it's too much to bear. This can't be true. On my past the point of clarity, my mind's muddied and obfuscated. There's no clarity I cannot see. I can't trust myself, I'm not thinking straight. The glasses on my eyes and they're tinted grey. It's all despair and dismay. And the sun may shine, but I don't feel it. Keep picking a scab, you won't heal it. Since they put you in a box and then they'd seal it. They say it gets better, well, I don't believe it. And I won't speak this frankly again. Conversations are fabrications. There's more truth in the pen. Ask me what I'm doing and I'll say, as good as can be expected, you know. And some don't ask at all. They're swimming in fish bowls, concealed in a veneer of control. No need to poke holes and shatter their illusions and yield to the inner confusions of what the fuck is life all about. Rather distract from inevitabilities with trivialities and nights out. Don't ask questions you don't want the answer to. Don't ponder on questions that there is no answer to. Well, excuse me for going beyond the mundial. I haven't had the luxury of normality. I think I breathe, I feel at a magnified rate. When your conception of strength, stability and care withers and is eaten up by cancer, this malignant cunt that permeates every cell in the corporeal, unleash on families a personal hell, and you watch your love wither and die and your heart shatters as time goes by and they get sicker and sicker, and the hope that you had that the initial diagnosis is no longer burning, it's just a flicker like the candles that they light, and the masses said in his name all fell on deaf ears, all well wishes in vain, and the pain, it's too much, it overwhelms, so you shut down internally because the idea of eternity went out you. I don't know, can I see that true? You're my dad, my best friend, the glue that held our family together. If I was in trouble, my first port of call, with your hand on my shoulder, I felt 10 feet tall. I only ever wanted to make you proud. Since I was a young fella dragging a hurley beside me, I'd run through tackles, melees and brawls. No room for cowardice, losing is fine but give it your all. On the pitch, like in life, do everything with a burning visceral passion or don't do it at all. You taught me strength, respect, decency, how to be a man. Gave me a template to emulate with how you loved Mam and our family. You achieved so much and were so well respected. A community leader, a larger than life figure. I could never amount to your stature, but you inspired me to reach for higher goals, ideals and ways of being. I was lost, I squandered what you gave me. Destitute and tending the pigs from the darkness, you did save me. You welcomed home the prodigal son and harbored no resentment in your heart. And now it's tearing me apart that you're not here to see. See me use all the lessons that you gave to me and walk in your shoes, they're loose but I'll grow into them. And I meant what I said when I whispered in your ear on the morning of your funeral as I wetted your cold cheeks with my tears. And I broke down when I had the realization that that'd be the last time that I'd ever see your face. Now my memory's hazy but I won't replace the love that I feel. It's all too real when I'm at your grave, and as I kneel the wind blows and a bird flies by, a little sign from the sky, it's you saying hi. And when I'm struck by the flutter of a butterfly, though you're not here, I know you didn't die. But that's little solace or comfort at times. I'm afraid I'll forget your voice. I'm afraid that the memories of you at the end will supplant the happy face that I've known my whole life. Were you afraid while lying in that hospital bed as machines beeped as if counting down towards the moment we did dread? What was in your head? Did you think about heaven or what comes next? Did you have things you wanted to say but couldn't express because you are so strong for us all? You told me you were sorry to be leaving us. Even on your own deathbed, you didn't want any fuss. You didn't rage against the dying of the light, but I think they must have died with you. This world is darker bereft of you. No matter the time now, it's an eternal night. But how do I explain that? How do I explain that I still talk to you aloud and listen for your response in every robin and every feather that lands from the clouds? How do I explain I'm mourning future plans and I'm eaten up by regret at taking you for granted? I feel guilt. I can't. So I'll just say, as good as can be expected. Because they can't understand. My love sleeps beyond the veil. The soil and grass is quilt.
My next guest is going to bring us time travelling now, thanks to her latest pamphlet, Miniskirts in the Wastelands, just published by the Hedgehog Poetry Press. No stranger to Eat the Storms, and also no stranger to being a contributor to the Storms Journal. She was last, which is here in the podcast, reading poems from her debut pamphlet, A Triptych of Birds and a Few Loose Feathers, which was the winner of the Hedgehog Poetry Press competition, Nicely Folded Paper Twill. Her work has appeared in places like Drake, Fly on the Wall, The Blue Nib, The Honest Ulsterman and Fragmented Voices, to name but a few. She's been shortlisted and received honourable mentions in various competitions, and I'm delighted to welcome her back to Eat the Storms today. This is Pratibha Castle.
Hi everyone, this is Pratibha Castle. Huge thanks to Damien Donnelly for inviting me to read for Eat the Storms poetry podcast. I'm reading from Miniskirts in the Wasteland, published by Hedgehog Press, my recently published pamphlet, which is a Poetry Book Society winter selection for 2023. The poems are set in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s in Notting Hill and also India. My Saviour. Notting Hill, a bed-sit state she'd fled to from the sticks on leaving school. CND signs scrawled on walls, graffiti bleeding like the Jesus hearts in all the convents she'd attended. Long hair, bleary eyes, soul bro to the hippies in their purple flares, jalabas, mumbling one a score. Landlady Aggie, larger than life poster by her bed of Cynthia, the naked biker babe, gossip hawked up on a phlegmy Belfast cackle. Lenient when the rent was late, a terror to the drunken gobshite down the hall who goosed her. Dwayne, a Crosby Tash, butterfly-patched jeans, Stetson, finger-picking starburst Gibson, cradled all the way from Frisco, almost tilting off the bed, off his head on a pineapple fast toque of Acapulco gold. Nam nightmares. Laura Ashley floor-length frock, stitched by candlelight in a Maidavale squat. She trips, her cowboy boots spark flies from black bags ditched by bin men backing striking miners. The day she kissed Dwayne's scars, heard tales of paddy fields and mortar, brash as fireworks watched on weed. The day he curled her fingers round a desert rose, she hitched her dress, joined him at the registry, made out, made up harmonies to I Do. When I read about the war, I remember your gun metal beetle chuntering down the Via Appia, a cough like my singer treadle. The square off Piazza Navona, where we chilled on a crumbling fountain edge, chaperoned by a pissing cherub, guzzled watermelon, pistachio ice, licked sugar trickles off each other's chins, my milk skin curdling in August blaze. I remember stars combusting in a cobalt sky, sand and your gaze burrowing in secret crevices as we lazed to heartbeat waves, octopus limbed after loving, transported on the magic carpet of your army sleeping bag. I remember a siege of pewter clouds, russet leaves blitzing rubbish bags outside my Chelsea flat, where I loitered in the hall, chewed split ends, watching for the post, your last note smeary in my pocket, shipping out to Nam tomorrow. I remember the day an airmail like a moth, blue as your eyes, fluttered to the mat, green heroic script. Jeff mentioned you. This dude dropped by. Jeff's missing. Jeff's sister, June. The Quickening. This is a quote, Wild Queendom of Motherhood, from Liz Berry. Though you grew into a gravel-throated babe whose 6'6" towers above my 5'2", my closet cossets keepsakes from the time I crossed the border into the wild queendom of motherhood. Silver teething ring, reminder of your mouth gaping to attach to nipple or the knuckle of a cooing visitor with no other potable flesh to hand. Nacreous tooth, cloth bunny, cross-stitch eyes interred under the bed with fluff balls flourishing, no longer nourishing the Hoover, forlorn friend abandoned in the cupboard beneath the stairs since my breakfast became a bite of dry toast, slurp of peppermint tea, up chuck scurry to the loo, dawn drill perfecting the art of the fluidless heave. Next came appetite like a starveling. For some unfortunates, it was sooty lumps of coal. I was lucky, fruit monkey, guzzling grapes like bruised cloths, luminous green popsicles, peaches velvet-skinned, silk flesh nectarines, bananas freckled like old lady fingers, satin slither down the throat of avocado. First suspicion of your presence, flutter like a butterfly freed from its swaddling cocoon, testing flight. In the bath, a V-shape like Belbulban Mount, elbow poking from my drum skin dune. Penguin waddle, belly hefted out ahead like a weight of hemp. Bebop that had you boogieing as I fingered a caftan in Granny Takes a Trip. Rugby buff bumping my ribs in what? Size 10 cleats? Finale, dragging pain familiar from dress rehearsal monthlies. 19 hours, climax of your seal slick body on my chest, passport with a crown of sweat past the border to my freaky queendom.
From here in Dublin, we are now going to a Dublin writer living in Denmark and a returning guest to Into the Storms. Not only a writer, but an entertainer, singer-songwriter, fairy tale author, painter, photographer and video maker who has been a professional musician since 1979, performing at countless festivals around Europe and has since travelled widely around the world from Tokyo to New York, from Madrid to Berlin. In the past, he's shared with us songs from his 2021 album, This Is Where I Keep My Dreams, which addressed issues in Ireland such as the Magdalen Laundries and Vulture Funds. And today, he is with us to share poems from his upcoming project, Valentine's Days. Here to tell us more about that project is John Buckley McQuaid.
Ladies and gentlemen and students, this is John Buckley McQuaid, reading selected lyrics from my advanced ebook project, Valentine's Days, a love story based on actual events set in Paris, Madrid, Berlin, and Aarhus. Nothing will be missed. The princess is in Paris, where she's tying up loose ends, apartments and embarrassments, her diplomatic friends. She's waving like an idiot. Fast forward to rewind. A misfit in a chariot who leaves what's left behind. Afternoon's abandoning the colors it has kissed. Everything is vanishing and nothing will be missed. The girl is living in Madrid with canvases and coal. She's everything she ever did. Forever takes its toll. A trader comes from far away to say he knows her well. She turns to fight another day, another night in hell. Afternoon's abandoning the colors it has kissed. Everything is vanishing and nothing will be missed. She dreams a living funeral that buries her in time. Her body is consumable regardless of her crime. She feels the snow upon her face that's melting in her hair. And though she chose the time and place, she wasn't really there. Immortal inside. How wide was the world behind the grey screen? The cities we loved, the stations between. We traveled the earth across the divide. We were as we were, immortal inside. Time turned on its wheel of moments to be, as real followed real of all we would see. A curtain that parts on shutters and bars with baskets of hearts and gutters of stars. Midnight on the moon. I see your face in window panes. It's midnight on the moon. Above the sky is filled with planes. September will be soon. And we shall give our hearts away on both sides of the wall. I found a place for us to stay a fortnight in the fall. It seems so simple nowadays, this complicated world, and all our playful masquerades no longer feel absurd. Then in the morning we will wake, as lovers often do, to sail a boat across a lake beneath a sky of blue. And we'll go down in history with everything that was, like breakfast on the balcony, and simply just because. Tilted by reality. All the birds are flying south. No one's talking for a change. People live from hand to mouth. Everything is very strange. Quiet Sundays by the wall, underneath the linden tree. Heads and hearts beyond recall, tilted by reality. This old world is upside down. What has been will always be. Circuses may come to town, and we'll agree to disagree. Quiet Sundays by the wall, underneath the linden tree. Heads and hearts beyond recall, tilted by reality. Teddy bears can be so brave, be so brave, be so brave. Teddy bears can be so brave, so they say. One more thing for us to save, us to save, us to save. One more thing for us to save, some fine day. Graffiti love. Who needs to be pretty? That's not where it's at. These pictures look gritty. We like them a lot. There's one of Marlena. She's wearing a hat. A fabulous scene, that. We never forgot. We take our pictures brick by brick, two hearts upon a wall. Ich liebe dich, ich liebe dich. Graffiti love is all. We lived on the east side of Sirius Night, where time on the inside was all black and white. No more conversation for lovers in chains. The sound of a station without any trains.
Just one piece, and this time it's a poem that she's not quite sure if her son will be happy to hear. She was born in the northwest of England, but to an Irish mum and English father, and has lived in places like the UK, Romania, Turkey, North Africa, and parts of Spain. During lockdown, experimentations began with poetry and painting, and those have continued to this date. She is happy to have poems appearing in places like Lighten Up Online, Funny Pearls UK, Tap Into Poetry, and Little Old Lady Comedy. She recently read one of her poems for the Coalition for Digital Narratives, and I'm delighted to welcome her today for the first time on Eat the Storms. This is Nuala McAvoy.
Hi, my name is Nuala McAvoy and I come from Northwest England. Right now I'm living in Germany, but the poem I'm going to read is about the time that my family and I lived in Istanbul and spontaneously and randomly invited three Catholic priests over for dinner. This is a true story and my son is going to kill me if this ever goes live. A conversation between my 10-year-old son and three Catholic priests. The prospect of inviting three priests to dinner was daunting for me, a mere mortal sinner, but the deed was done, a date was set. I was instantly filled with remorse and regret. What would we cook them? What if I swore? What would we discuss? These questions and more filled my mind in the days preceding the date, and as it got closer, I chose to debate with the kids on what was to be expected. Amy looked sulky, but Zach, he reflected on the words that I spoke, on the advice that I gave, on how he was expected to behave. They're human, you know, like you and me. They're only popping in for some tea. So don't sit in silence. I want you to speak. Tell them all your plans for the week. Ask a question, tell a joke. Try not to be formal. Be yourselves, do your best to act very normal. The evening arrived, and so did our guests. The cooking was bland, but I'd done my best. The small talk was stilted but soon became fine, oiled and smoothed by a rather good wine. The kids, they fidgeted, they twitched, they yawned. But as I cleared the table, on Zach it dawned that it was his moment, his time to natter, to make conversation, to chit and to chatter. The silence was resounding, Zach's mind seemed blank. And as I stood in the kitchen, my heart sank. All that we'd taught them, all hopes and fears, had obviously landed on deaf ears. The silence, it lasted a minute or two, as I prepared the pudding without further ado. But all of a sudden, the silence was broken, for Zach had reacted. Young Zach had spoken. He gazed at the priest at the head of the table, and what happened next is truth, not fable. Padre, he said, I have something to ask. Yes, Zacharias, the priest prepared for his task. A religious dilemma, a brief confession, a lack of faith, a brief digression from the right path, the only true kind. Such were the questions that the priest had in mind. Padres, said Zach to the three Christian brothers. What did one fart say to the other? The senior priest was caught unawares to the point that he nearly fell off his chair. He gulped some water and wine as well. I don't know, Zacharias, pray, can you tell? Zach grinned at the priest, his eyes open wide. Put on your helmet, we're going outside. Brum, brum, he said, as if to explain that a motorbike and a fart can sound the same. Zach howled laughing, but no one else did. Yet in my heart, I just loved this kid. To this day, he's still happy to play the clown, but he'll never, ever live this story down.
Today, my final guest on this episode, and also the final guest of season 7, aside from the special episode coming soon, an audio guide, a companion to the Storms Journal issue 3, which is coming in October, is a returning guest to Eat the Storms and the author of still one of my favourite poems, Him Building Me a Bookcase, which you get to hear today, thankfully. Her debut pamphlet, Lost and Found, was published by the Hedgehog Poetry Press back in 2020, and she is a winner of the Righteous Cafe and Cupid Arrow competitions, and has been shortlisted for National Poetry Day Speak Your Truth competition. She's also the author of the micro-pamphlet What Colour Is My Brain, co-written by Jules Whiting last year. And then this summer, Indigo Dreams Press published her debut full poetry collection, The Omniscient Tooth Fairy. And today she will share poems from this collection, a collection that comprises of poetry written over the past decade. And it is also our collection of the week here at Eat the Storms. Co-organiser of Reading's Poet Cafe, Poets Cafe Online, and also Reading's Stanza Group, please welcome the author of our collection of the week, the omniscient tooth fairy, the always exceptional Vic Pickup.
Hi, my name's Vic Pickup, and I'm from Hampshire in the UK. I'm going to be reading a few poems for you today from my first collection, The Omniscient Tooth Fairy, which was published by Indigo Dreams earlier this summer. Before I start, I'd just like to say a huge thank you to Damie for all his hard work promoting poetry of others, and it's a great privilege to be reading for you. The first poem I'm going to read was shortlisted for the National Poetry Day Speak Your Truth competition on YouTube. It's a tongue-in-cheek rant off the back of many discussions with people about what it is I actually do during the period of time I was at home with three small children. So this is called Occupation. I'm a real-life flesh-and-blood climbing frame, a bit squashy here and there to cushion the falls. I'm a human tissue for snots and snivels and spillages in general, so feel free to use a sleeve. I'm a bodyguard. I walk in the middle of the road, shield beings with small legs and no common sense in car parks. I'm a silver service waitress, a veritable tasting menu delivered to plastic plates and bowls thrice daily. I am a cheese grater, ketchup squirter, pudding briber. I am a cleaner. I carry bottles of Pledge and Milton, a packet of wet wipes holstered at the ready. I am a machine. I operate despite breakdowns, meltdowns, strikes and vandalism, even when afflicted with an infestation of lice. I am the police. I enforce sharing behaviours, begrudged courtesies and issue 10p fines. I am a referee. I break up fights, distribute red cards, threaten with the bench. I'm an independent adjudicator. I bestow nonsense wisdom and behave inconsistently to reflect life in the real world. I'm a voluntary Uber driver. I am a counsellor, healer, psychic. I can see and hear things that aren't even there. I'm a forensic scientist, medic, baggage handler, dental nurse. I'm a mathematician, statistician, weather girl, dairy cow. I am the singer of ancient and tragic nursery rhymes. I am a lovemaker, life giver. I'm a world-class bottom wiper. The next poem was written after the first lockdown during COVID. My husband, who won't mind me saying, is not gifted in the DIY department, but living with a bibliophile, me, he was rather frustrated with the piles of books everywhere and decided that he would do something about it. And this is devoted to his efforts. It's called Him Building Me a Bookcase. 16 chunky shelves propped on blocks of pallet wood, sliced like angel cakes, each one a different shade. A dusty finger pins the glossy pages of a how-to book. Cautiously, he drills, but soon his eye is fixed, unblinking. The bar turns, the wood secured in its vise. Lines of sinew flicker in his forearm as he saws, then blows and smooths the debris clear. He measures with one eye shut, improvises in places where the spirit level would not go. He gives purpose to timber fit only for the fire, a hand-me-down drill and screws from an ice cream tub on a garage shelf. Having masked the edges, he applies three coats, wearing war paint of magnolia, the gleam of cream laden thickly on his brush. We stand, and my hand slides into his back pocket, already wondering which will go where and in what order. He doesn't know, but this is my greatest wish. Not the having of a place or a way to keep things, only this, him, building me a bookcase. The final poem I'm going to read for you is the final poem in the book, and it sums up a lot of the poems that are featured. It's all about parenting and the anxieties that go with that and the modern world that we live in. And I had this idea that I think the base emotions we feel probably haven't evolved too much since the early times of man. So this is sort of an imagined conversation. It's called Conversation with a Cave Woman. No, we don't get many saber-toothed tigers. Food stores are reasonable at our local Tesco Extra. My partner has no need for a spear or a knife. He uses a thing called a mac to sustain his brood, and firelighters, individually wrapped. I have not lost any children to the cold or hunger. Nobody wants to take them in the night or kill them. My milk didn't dry up in a drought. And when our son had a cough, we drove to the A&E in town and didn't have to wait long. But I lie awake at night. I dread what I cannot stop. My inability to forage, find fresh water, or control my fears. That my children will live like me, speak like me, be frightened of this world. I worry I don't show love as other people do, that they will need pills or to pay someone just to talk. On days when the cloud base is low and the list of what's needed unravels as I so frequently do, I want to swaddle their skins in animal fur, smother them with my scent, have enough fuel to keep the fire strong and the glow in their faces, knowing I can take on the world. Thank you for listening, and thank you again to Damie for having me.
And so just before we leave today, as it's almost officially the end of season 7, I'm going to leave you with a few poems from my debut pamphlet, Eat the Storms, which is a reason that this podcast began, because it was coming out in September 2020 in the midst of lockdown, in the depths of COVID, and nobody was going to know anything about it. And so I decided to start a podcast, and now here we are, 600 international guests later. Thank you all so much for listening. This first poem is called Catch Colour. The sun sets and rises, and in between we catch the kisses that come upon the current, though the continent is not ours to conquer. Tides come and go, touch is temporary. Flesh is polished pink below the sky, but falls like sands in the glass that hoards the hours. Like clouds that can never be caged. The sun sets, and we blaze orange blossoms into passing nights. The night's gale calls of connections in the passing. Passion is precious until it too passes. The sun rises and falls. Catch light. Catch the fire before it drowns on the water. Catch the colours to paint the coming of the grey, to keep afloat until the next kiss. Catch colour. Catch kisses before the sun sets.
let worry it waste upon the wave. Tomorrow's light will be blue enough. I remember sitting once in Marseille before I moved back to Ireland and watching the sunset, thinking about the moon that was about to replace it. There were kids running around, there was traffic flowing past. It was a serene setting, but it was loud and noisy. This poem is called Meditation Under the Yellow Sun. I wanted to draw the sound of the moon on a sun-drenched beach. Stripped down to white sand, white wave, white skin starved for affection. I wanted to draw the sound of the moon as the chaos of the current crashed upon those crowds, clawing at each other. Below a spot of sunlight that burnt them quicker than they could contemplate contentment, while I sketch the white light of night circling the circumference of day. I wanted to put onto paper a possibility of holding stillness while all else moved, of leaning in to the moonlight melody while the daylight drowned out thought, of being able to hold stillness in a song. I wanted to draw the sound of the moon as the yellow sun stripped the sea from the sand. And I suppose it's not really possible to end the season without reading this one. Thank you again to Mark Davidson from the Hedgehog Poetry Press, who published this pamphlet and the ones that followed, and my first collection last year, Enough. This is Scarlet Rising. Eat the storms, Mother said. Boil these beds of bitter blackness until the dream rips through the rain and translucent turns to trust. Even a diamond must ache in the darkness until compression can no longer conceal. Eat the storms, Mother said. Slip out of shivering skin until touch recalls the sweet music of scarlet rising, caught below the lick of leaf, lost in the shadow of the shade. Even the petal must rise above the thorn before it can dance in the light. Eat the storms, Mother said. But I didn't hear it at first. It takes time to swallow the truth and teach that tongue to taste the rain. Well, I hope you've had a good evening, good afternoon, or possibly even a good morning with us here at Eat the Storms, your favourite poetry podcast, which comes to you on your preferred podcast platform, which might be Spotify, Apple, Google, Breaker, Podbean, Player FM, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Castbox, Podcast Addicts, or perhaps even iTunes.
And I'd like to end today's show by saying a huge thank you to all of you, our listeners, for tuning in, not only over the past 14 episodes, but over the past 7 seasons, because it is because of you that we keep going here. And by we, I mean the I and all the voices in my head and all the magnificent voices of the artists that I get to be surrounded by. And today, those stars were Mikey Cullen, Nuala McEvoy, John Buckley McQuaid, Pratiba Castle, Linda Dratel, and author of our collection of the week, The Omniscient Tooth Fairy, published by Indigo Dreams Press, the wonderful Vic Pickup. As always, for details and all of my guests, head on over to www.eatsthestorms.com. There, in the section Listen to the Podcast, you'll find a blog post for every episode. This was episode 14, season 7, and in that blog post you will find photos of my stars, boy bios, social media handles, and perhaps even links on where to buy their collections. While you are there, you will also be able to find the shop to purchase your own copy of the Storms Journal. At the moment, you can pick up issue 1 or issue 2, currently at a discounted price. And from next month, you will be able to pick up the bright, new, sparkling, stormy issue 3. Which is produced here in Ireland, printed here in Ireland, but with international contributors offering poetry, prose and visual arts. And it has been an absolute joy to put this issue together with my sub-editor for this issue, the exceptional poet Nitti Kassa. Okay, so we will be back with you again, as I've said, next month with a special episode, episode 15. And that episode will focus on the Storms Journal. It will be an audio companion to the journal. And after that, we will not be back with you for a few months. But when we do return with season 8, we'll have a slightly different format. And I'm very excited about this and to see the changes that will take place here at Eat the Storms. So until then, please feel free to check out all the previous episodes, which are now available, of course, on most podcast platforms. Support the poets. Follow the poets. If you are able to buy their collections, then please do, or attend their Zoom shows, or if you get to see them or hear them read in person, then please go along, because the most important thing that we can be right now is a community. And the worst thing we can do is stand on the stage alone. The joy of this podcast is getting to share the spotlight. And here, as we come to the end of season 7, this podcast has shared the spotlight with over 600 international artists. Thank you so much to every single person who has joined me here. Until next time, keep smiling, keep writing, keep creating, but most importantly, stay bloody poetic!
Oh, thank you.